Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines. I'll be with you until 2 this afternoon. Today is March the 9th, 2021, the day after International Women's Day. I hope everyone enjoyed their day, and women and men have taken some time to reflect on the contributions of women to our societies, and also to think about how we can work towards equality as an issue for all. Today, my producer is Mr. John Stout. Good morning, John. And the numbers to call, 434-1790, and for WhatsApp, 266-4862 for WhatsApp messages only. So we have the pleasure this morning of being joined by a guest. He'll be with us for a little while this morning. His name is Mr. Joseph Tordella. He is the Counselor for Economic and Political Affairs at the U.S. Embassy to the Eastern Caribbean in Bridgetown. And he joins us to tell us a bit about the United States of America's support for the COVAX facility. Good morning, Mr. Tordella.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming. Would you like to tell us a bit about the U.S.'s support for the COVAX facility?
Sure, absolutely. And firstly, I just wanted to congratulate you on returning to host the show. I'm excited to be speaking with such an expert on regional political dynamics and really look forward to connecting with you after this to learn more based on your research. I also want to say good morning to all of your listeners. I hope everyone's staying safe and well. You know, I was listening yesterday to David Ellis on this program explain that we need to prepare for the next pandemic, even while we're dealing with this one, so we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. And so I want to put out some facts about what the United States is doing, has been doing, and will continue to do to help get vaccines in the arms of everyone around the world. This is the essential topic right now, and I think it's one where we all agree what needs to be done to finally put 2020 well behind us. You see, I've been listening to comments from your listeners and in discussions during webinars that say that wealthy countries need to do more. And I wanted to come onto your show and say that the United States agrees 100% and explain more importantly what we're doing to match action with words. You see, first, COVID-19 is a global challenge that requires a global response. And at this stage of the pandemic, that response is focused on vaccines. That's why the United States is working multilaterally through COVAX to help the world procure and distribute vaccines. Specifically, the United States announced recently $4 billion to support COVAX. That's over half of what COVAX says it needs, and that's just from us. So what is COVAX? Why does that assistance matter? And why aren't we just giving vaccines to countries directly? So I think there's a lot of confusion about that. Mm-hmm. Well, COVAX is the world's official mechanism for distributing vaccines transparently and equitably. It's huge worldwide, and Barbados is part of it. You see, COVAX supports almost 100 low- and middle-income countries through a special mechanism that includes, in our neighborhood, Dominica, St. Lucia, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. The rest of the COVAX countries, like Barbados, are in a different mechanism but benefit from our support by more vaccines being available globally. Right now, vaccine manufacturers are cranking out vaccines around the clock because of the demand and the money that's going into procuring more and more on a massive scale. So is COVAX perfect? No. In fact, it needs a lot more financing, and that's why we're encouraging other countries to contribute more. In fact, some countries that are making a lot of news all over the world by offering vaccines directly to countries don't contribute a single dollar to this global, transparent, and equitable way of sharing vaccines globally. So our contribution of $4 billion to COVAX isn't the full story. As massive as it is, the contribution is just a small part of decades of U.S. investments that have helped us create our global health system and the decades of vaccine research that have gotten us to this point. So, yeah, the U.S. government is the single largest contributor as a country to the international response to COVID-19, but that's just our government. Wealthy American business persons and American companies also are such significant contributors to the WHO that the WHO's website lists them as top donors above what entire countries are contributing. So again, individual Americans and individual American companies are listed alongside countries. That's how massive their contributions are to the global health regime. So the U.S. response is massive and global. It includes individual Americans, American companies, the U.S. government, and Barbados is part of this. We need to all work together and continue working together to focus ourselves on action to beat this thing. And that action right now is expanding transparent and equitable access to vaccines.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. I have a question.
Sure, ma'am.
So you did mention that Barbados is not among the countries that is able to access these vaccines for free, I believe. I believe it's called the Advanced Market Commitment that allows for 92 low and middle income countries to access vaccines. So how exactly does this contribution assist not just Barbados, but the countries in the region beyond Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, St. Lucia, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines?
Right. So COVAX has two mechanisms. The advanced market commitment, as you mentioned, which is really for low and middle income countries, which Barbados is not, which has its upsides, but also its downsides. And as such, Barbados is a self-financing participant in COVAX. So are most countries all over the world participating as self-financing participants or through the AMC. The benefit of COVAX, again, is that this is a transparent way for equitably distributing vaccines to where they're needed most. The folks at COVAX can explain in greater detail how they assess where specific vaccines end up and how the schedule is determined. But it's really based on the fact that this is a global challenge that we need to work on together around the world to get those vaccines where they're needed. So again, how does a self-financing participant benefit from more money being pumped into COVAX? It's because COVAX is able to negotiate with the pharmaceutical companies that are producing the vaccines in order to make larger purchases that are driving down the cost of vaccines, that are creating more vaccine supply so that it's more available globally. And also, COVAX is working through the WHO. The WHO itself has teams of scientists around the world that are looking at the data from the vaccine trials and can assess that the individual vaccines that are procured through COVAX are safe and effective. You don't want to put a vaccine in your arm after all of 2020 and how horrible this pandemic has been. You don't want to put something in your arm that's either unsafe or not tested to be effective. And that's what COVAX and the WHO are working on now.
Okay. And can you tell us a bit about the vaccines that have been developed in the United States of America? Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. Are they included in the COVAX facility?
I believe right now the ones that are approved by the WHO for emergency use on their emergency use list are Pfizer, which was approved at the end of December of last year, and just recently the WHO approved the AstraZeneca vaccine that's both produced in India, which Barbados and other countries in the Eastern Caribbean have received, and also the AstraZeneca vaccines that are produced in Switzerland as well. So this research is ongoing around the clock. In fact, if you can go to the WHO's website and look at where various vaccines are in the investigative process for them determining whether they're safe and effective to be used, and that's really the mechanism for pharmaceutical companies to step forward to share their data in a transparent way with the world, so that people can make a smart decision about taking this vaccine and getting us past this pandemic.
To go over to a commercial break, so we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. This is Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks, and I am Dr. Christina Hines. This morning, we're taking a few minutes to speak to Mr. Joseph Tordella. He is the Counselor for Economic and Political Affairs at the U.S. Embassy to the Eastern Caribbean in Bridgetown, and he has been telling us about the contribution that the United States of America has been making to the COVAX facility and has been explaining a bit about how this can benefit Barbados and the region. Now, you mentioned to us that the contribution that the United States is making constitutes half of the COVAX funding, that the United States is the single largest contributor, and that American companies have also, and private individuals, have also made significant contributions to funding in the WHO. Can you tell us if, And also that this funding helps to make vaccines more affordable for countries such as Barbados, who will have to pay for access to vaccines. Because despite what we may believe in Barbados, we are actually listed as a high income country by the World Bank. So, outside of the COVAX facility, do you know if there are any discussions or plans to offer gifts of vaccines to the region, whether it is from the individual companies operating in the USA or from the US government itself?
Well, thank you, Dr. Hines. You know, the fact is that every country around the world is reaching out to individual companies that are producing vaccines and negotiating directly. Or, you know, in the case of Barbados, the negotiation with your prime minister, with the prime minister of India, I think is a good example of international cooperation with vaccines that had been approved by the WHO. I know that the U.S. approach is constantly being analyzed for what we will do as we have enough vaccines in order to go through the U.S. population. I'll say right now there's a overall supply shortage even in the United States. I mean, I feel this personally. I haven't had access to a vaccine yet. My family is still trying to, you know, they're not there yet on the priority list to get vaccinated, those who are back in the United States. So it's something that, right, you know, all of us are in this together in terms of facing the global supply shortages. And that's why we're trying to work on a global scale to make sure that everyone around the world is able to get vaccines. And that's by really pumping a lot of resources into the system that is procuring those vaccines globally. Of course, you know, individual countries are going to still look for vaccines directly with pharmaceutical companies. But that is, again, I think working on a global scale, doing that transparently, is a way to ensure equitable access around the world. Okay. That's something that Barbados has advocated for, something that CARICOM has pushed for, and something that the United States is trying to make happen.
Would you like to stay with us a bit to see if any of the callers have questions for you?
I'd be delighted to.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines and see what we get. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. It's not about that at all. What I'm calling about is I'm a pensioner, and this is a very quick one. The Prime Minister was very, very nice in last month allowing us to get our pensions one time. And I'm just asking if it would be possible that she can, you know, extend the helping hand again and do it again this month, because it stops the pensioners from going on the streets twice in a month when they can only go once to access their pensions and go to the supermarkets and go to whatever they have to do. So I'm just asking if that can be applied.
So you're a bit concerned that at this point in time you may not be able to access your pension in a timely manner?
No, what happens is you get two pensions, two slits,
right,
but they cannot be accessed at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, she allowed it to happen at one time. Where
you
can
lockdown.
Time. Yeah. So I'm just asking if she or anyone in her ministry is hearing if they can allow us to get the two at one time again, that we can go for one day, do our shopping and so on, and don't have to go the second time.
Well, we will see what happens with that. I think perhaps right now the movement is towards, I can't speak for the government, obviously, but towards opening the economy up some more. So perhaps the reasoning is that there's no longer a need for this, as people have the ability to move about a bit more freely, and there's also an additional shopping day. But let's see if your plea has been heard and if a change will be made.
Thank you
for your call.
Okay,
good
thank
luck
you.
Sir.
Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Dr. Hines, good
me.
Morning to you.
Good morning.
I need to ask the American rep there.
Mr. Tordell, sure.
Yeah, about three questions. One, if sometime back we all ventilators were withheld from us, I've just read where they are expecting to put what is known as a vaccine passport on the market. And last week I read where 250 of the vaccines were pulled back from traveling to coming to the Caribbean. If America has any influence on this, or if we can put word into it. That is the ventilators. That is the fact that we don't know where they're thinking about putting a vaccine passport. And the third one here is the position on the vaccine from Canada, from India that went missing.
Vaccines from India went missing?
Yeah, over 200. It was in last week's paper, over 250,000. If it stands to markets facilitating and World Health, it's facilitating a lot of the Caribbean problems. Obviously, your study would tell you that these are things that would have happened. And if there's any way that you can put some insight into it for Barbadians to know that we can depend on America for assistance, and not that America is assisting, but not assisting.
Mm. Okay. Thank you so much for your question, sir. I could say personally that the U.S. has been working with the region to make sure that ventilators get to the region and where they're needed most. In fact, for Barbados, we have through PAHO, we've helped to purchase for Barbados PCR testing materials, computers for the Ministry of Health, vital sign monitors, thermometers. We even supported the PSAs about healthy eating habits. And just over a year ago, our ambassador inaugurated with Minister Bostic the Barbados Defense Force Field Hospital. That was through a donation to make sure that there was a mobile medical facility that was deployed as part of the COVID-19 response. We've also sent PPE and our American Center for Disease Control provided $400,000 for infection prevention, laboratory reagents, improvements to the data management at the Besto Santos Laboratory and Harrison Point facility. So we've definitely been a partner throughout on the full range of material that's needed in this fight. On vaccine passports, I think that, the U.S. government doesn't have an official position on this yet. I think what we're seeing now is a lot of individual states and cities around the world starting to make decisions about what is the right way to document if you've had the full vaccine regimen. I know the CDC just yesterday announced that some additional guidance now that, for people who have had both shots of the vaccines, that it would be safe to gather in person with other fully vaccinated people without masks. I think CDC is really looking at the data around the clock as there's more empirical evidence to show what else would be safe now that we have vaccines in arms. For a while, of course, we need to continue to be concerned about those who have not had the vaccine and not inadvertently hurting them until they've had the chance to have the vaccine themselves. And that's why I think your health authorities have emphasized the importance of continuing all those social distancing measures that have been keeping us safe for the past year. On the vaccines that have gone missing, to be honest, I have not seen that story. I don't know if you're referring to the COVAX shipment that is intended for Barbados, and there's I think that's almost 101,000 doses that should be delivered through the WHO at some point, and there's more for all the other countries of the Eastern Caribbean. I know the COVAX facility is kind of working through their schedule, and I'd have to follow up with them directly to see what the exact schedule is that they're providing. That's something probably your country's health authorities have more directly than we do at the embassy.
Thank you for those responses. Let's see if we have another call. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
I'm trying to keep according to the older people. I want to pick up by your program on Sunday. Good morning to you, I guess. Forgive my O'Malley-ness.
Okay, so you don't have a question on the COVAX facility or U.S. contribution?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, they talk about Caribbean unity and all kind of things. The first step to being unified, in my opinion, is to recognize that we are all one. Right?
That we are all one.
Mm-hmm. Right? Who was brought here because of something called the transatlantic slave trade? Who were deposited at different islands? Anyway, Marcus Garvey said, if people with folk knowledge of their past history is like a tree with folk roots. Now, this thing about culture and where we come from is like a cancer. I hear Sandy Kelman and Peter Wicken talking about the English language and speaking properly. I don't believe in that.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't believe in it. It's the way we have been programmed. I would like to become deprogrammed, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the excuse that I'm hearing, English is the universal language. But you know what? No one has ever said why it is universal. It became universal because of the Europeans getting people land, invading them, and forcing their doctrines and beliefs on people. Even Christianity was like that. In recent times, we had the Protestants and the Catholics in Great Britain fighting. Christian group killing one another. Now, we in the Caribbean, I find that politicians are the ones who keep us divided. If it was left to the people, we'd be unified. But politicians who come up with their own rule and all kind of thing, they are the ones who keep us divided. Look at the United States of America. Have you ever heard of the United States of Africa? No. Everybody poor, hungry, everybody want to destroy each other. For what?
Well, I think the context of Africa is quite different, though.
Huh?
Because you had, with Africa, you had a continent that was divided across European powers, as I'm sure you well know. And we see the consequences of this in state formation. So I don't think it's fair to make the same kind of comparison between the African continent and the United States of America.
But who caused us to be divided in Africa? Again, the same Europeans as they did with India and Pakistan. When they went into that continent and separated them. And we are seeing the results of it to today. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sad thing about it too, when you talk about African, you being an African, I hear most people saying I'm African. And I always use a simple, simple term that any idiot should understand. Taking a malt and putting it in a spray bottle, does it become a malt when it's a spray bottle?
It depends on if there's any spray left in the spray bottle when you pour
No.
It might be a hybrid then.
No, I drain the bottle. Drain the bottle.
But even when you drain it, you know, they still have the little taste of the Sprite. So, you know, it's not an unadulterated malt.
Well, Ella,
uh-huh.
We have some tutors, right? If only people would pay attention to what they're saying, chart dust, sea water and sand. Right? We have red plastic bag all because of you. Mm-hmm. We have Peter Tosh, no matter where you come from, as long as a black man, you're an African. We have Bob Marley, which I consider this song that I'm going to mention now as the black man's anthem, Africa Unite. Why are
right,
we not?
Well, I thank you for raising our awareness this morning, at least from your perspective. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, I can.
Yes,
can I ask, do you have a question for the Representative from the U.S. Embassy? Okay, go on.
Of course I do, and that's, you know, I thought the other callers were, you know, were off point. Anyway, but my question to the U.S. Embassy representative, would the U.S. be providing vaccines to the embassies around the world for the citizens who live out of the USA?
So to U.S. citizens who are located outside of the U.S., is that what you're asking?
Right. You know, if they would be providing vaccines to the embassy in the various countries where, you know, their citizens reside. Would they be doing that in the future?
Mr.
Hey,
thank
you. Yeah, thank you so much for that question, ma'am. The State Department is also in line with every governor in the United States, every mayor who's also fighting for vaccines. I think your prime minister called it the Wild West in terms of the vaccine hunt. And, you know, the State Department is doing its best to be able to get vaccines out to the embassies as well for diplomatic staff and our colleagues who work at the embassy as well, who are from the countries where we serve. So that's something that our State Department leadership is working on around the clock. And right now, you know, it's as I said, it's a personal issue for me as well, because there are supply shortages that affect all of us around the world, not just small countries or countries without the same resources as larger ones. This is something that really affects everyone. We're all in this together, and that's why the U.S. is focused on expanding that supply as much as possible for the entire world, not just kind of one-off gifts or focusing on individual countries or individual pockets. People, we're really trying to get the vaccines available globally.